You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah, welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Tool of Hell Radio Show. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got the good and golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about the 365 Days of Horror, as we like to call them. Jordan, how are you?
I am absolutely great. Nothing bad is going on, and I'm having an awesome time.
That's great, dude. I too, am having a pretty fucking chill day. I don't think anything can get me down, so nice.
Well, I did just see this headline, and I'm sorry to have to do this to you, but Fear Factory's new vocalist is Italian, according to former Night Rage frontman.
How could they do this to me? To Joe? How could they betray me?
It's you're a linchpin, but you do the little two-finger thing together from now on.
Do they say who this Itai is?
They have not, but it is someone who's Italian, I suppose. Maybe it is Christina Scabia from Lacuna Coil.
Huh. I'm hoping for Michael Imperioli. I guess he does have a band now. It's theoretically possible. He's certainly a better vocalist than the last fellow that they had.
I had listened to the Talking Sopranos podcast where he mentions his band every episode.
I had a day where the internet was down, so I turned on my antenna to watch broadcast TV, and he was performing on one of the late night shows or another. It was inoffensive.
It existed. That's all you can ask for when a celebrity starts playing music.
Yeah. So, here's hoping that's the case. A former Lacuna Coil member, perhaps pizza. Benny, it's been a week of pretty doom and gloom news, but your two boys here, your two toilet boys, we're going to try to help you make sense of it all and find the silver lining and everything so that we can have a good rest of the week together. How does that sound?
That sounds pretty okay.
Now, there is, of course, a small but not totally ignorable chance that current conditions could deteriorate to a level of all-out nuclear warfare, which would assure the death and misery of almost all of us. But, what are you going to do about it? Is worrying about it going to fix anything?
Just get some chicken fingers and some curly fries. You'll be fine.
I don't want to be a comedy metal podcast dipshit that tries to explain geopolitical events to his audience because I'm not that big of a dickhead. So we can just say, broad strokes, Putin has decided against the wishes of, pretty much everybody in Russia to invade Ukraine, and the Ukrainians are not a big fan of this. And, of course, there are, additional forces at play here. It's kind of it's a whole snafu, it's a... what is the word for it? It's a faux pas.
A whoopsie doodle.
Exactly. And we hate to see that. As such, huge geopolitical conflict, of course, has a way of spiraling out into the tepid little kiddie pools we like to play in with heavy metal.
And have you made sure to pour out your Russian vodka yet?
I gotta say, I'm not really a vodka guy. I like flavor. So,
you don't like alcoholic potato juice that smells like rubbing alcohol?
That's the thing. I've never liked vodka because it's always been this is just an implement to get fucked up. I don't actually enjoy any of this. As a matter of fact, it smells like hairspray and it tastes like something with three X's on the jug. It's bad.
You need some fruits in there, maybe a little squiggly swirly straw, maybe a pineapple on the side of it.
Yes, absolutely. But then you would just replace the vodka with rum, which has delicious flavor. So I have seen a number of Americans and Canadians getting in on it now. Canada has a weird kinship with Ukraine for, well, in many cases, pretty unsavory reasons. But that's spiraled out into jingoist behavior of purchasing Russian vodka to then pour down the drain or, you know, on your lawn. I think that might be a somewhat silly move. I don't know. Do you agree, disagree?
It's pretty pointless. They already have your money. It's like when people would go out to buy Beatles records just to destroy them. It's like, but you bought it. They got money from it. What are you doing?
Yeah, the whole Beatles thing seemed like a publicity stunt back in the day, to me anyway.
Sure.
This could be, you know, a Chamber of Commerce-esque type plot by the Russian Vodka Growers Association to try to sell a little more product in a pretty down period.
Maybe there's just so many other options that people don't want the crappy stuff anyway.
But yeah, you know, folks that you know, like vodka or whatever, you know, explain yourselves in the comments, and we'll definitely read them and consider them in the future.
Especially me.
Especially Jordan. He's looking to get into developing an alcohol problem. So, you know, now is the time to strike. There are a lot of pretty heady things we can get into here. If it's okay, I wanted to start with a pretty light one, and I'm sure that this won't bother anybody in any way. I did see a news story this morning related to Twisted Sister's Dee Snider, who wrote one song in the early 80s and has been riding pretty high off of that ever since. It's related to his one song.
I guess in fairness, that one song is still played and is still popular amongst certain people. It's not like trying to ride the wave of, I don't know, a cover from 1982. Like, I don't know, Quiet Riot still trying to ride that wave. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, you're fair, but Quiet Riot also did have at least Mental Health. It was less of a huge hit, but it was still... I don't know of a second Twisted Sister song, do you?
It's not like L.A. Guns still trying to make things happen. There, that's my fallback, L.A. Guns.
Get their asses every week. So D was on Twitter, as he is, as we all are, as we're forced to be. He says... with no context, like not responding to anybody or nothing like that. He says, I absolutely approve of Ukrainians using "We're not gonna take it" as their battle cry. My grandfather was Ukrainian before it was swallowed up by the USSR after World War II. This can't happen to these people again. Hashtag fuck Russia. So there's, I guess, a few things we can touch on this. Number one, I don't believe that I have seen in any of the coverage that I have followed that "We're Not Gonna Take It" by Twisted Sister is in any way a battle cry from the Ukrainian people. is it like a go-to for this guy? Like, oh, there's a, you know, turmoil happening. I'm sure that one side is using my hit song.
It's probably a safe assumption.
I don't know, man. Like, these people also have, like, their own culture. They could have songs from their own folks. They don't have to necessarily borrow from D.
They're just going to have a ginger cover of "We're Not Going to Take It" blasting over the loudspeakers.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to remember now. I think that... I think the second... Wolfenstein game ended with an insane, like, maximalist deathcore cover of "We're Not Gonna
That's
Take
right.
It."
That's right.
Yeah. That really put a damper on what was a fantastic video game.
It's a timeless anthem for people that are upset to groove to.
So this fellow replies to D here. He says, hello, Dee. It's not Russia to blame. It's Putin. He's the one who started the war. Most Russians don't support him and his decisions. This is, by the way, a Russian fella. Dee's like, understood, though they are claiming that 60% of Russians support this invasion. But the Russian people, many of whom are already protesting, need to take responsibility for the piece of shit they have allowed to stay in power for 22 years. Hashtag fuck Putin.
Someone you hear that is, old lady in Vladivostok? It's your fault.
Exactly. Someone else is like, Dee, I sincerely doubt that 60% of Russians support this atrocity. Dee says, unfortunately, they're being fed a stream of propaganda by the Russian government telling them that Ukraine is the aggressor. This old ass fucking, just shut the fuck up. Jesus fucking Christ. That's the thing that kills me about this and why I don't even want to have to talk about any of this, because I don't want to put myself somewhere that my dick does not fucking belong, exactly like Dee Snider here.
Dick is to Blender as Dee Snider is to Twitter.
Yes, that's a did you ace the SATs, Jordan?
I did all right.
Dusting off his knuckles over here, like I could do a couple of analogies.
Some matrix squares.
Anyway, this is another instance of just an old ass American that does not need to be joining the conversation about something that does not necessarily involve him. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with this episode, folks. We got a lot of places we can go from here. Is there anything that you're especially feeling?
Well, do we want to break things up, or do you just want to go right into all the bad stuff?
I'm happy to break things up. That might be nice, actually.
Did you see that Tool was trying to sell, like, autographed vinyl at their live shows for $810?
I did not see that. So their new record or whatever, like, on vinyl for $800?
It's not new. I mean, it's new in the sense that it hasn't been released yet, but it's Fear Inoculum, deluxe vinyl, Who's It's What's It's, being sold at their live shows for over $800. And I think they tried to explain this saying it's like a 5 LP deluxe with extra cheese and sour cream, gold certified, Who's It's whatever. And yeah, people are just like, $800? Are you crazy? So they heard the cries of the people and they've reduced it. Do you want to know how much it's worth now?
How much?
$750.
God, I hope that doesn't eat up their margin too much.
And stuff's already going online for large amounts of money for an album that you can listen to for free online right now.
No, that totally makes sense, though. Tool fans love to be gouged. It's like their favorite thing, that and like acid.
Tool fans love being Tool fans.
Yeah. Like, I saw some guy complaining online the other day about how he spent, I don't know, like thousands of dollars to go to get good seats for Tool on multiple dates of their latest tour or whatever, and was complaining about how drunk and disorderly the people around him were. And he's like, man, I've been sober for 30 years. I only get high on life. This is my indulgence, spending thousands of dollars on Tool shows and memorabilia. And I hate that people are ruining this for me.
At that point, if you're spending that much money and you don't want to be around drunk people or just people in general, which I get, I fully understand that, get a VIP box or something at an arena. Just be away from people.
That's a pretty good idea, actually.
Maybe eat some chicken wings while you listen to Hooker with a Pianist.
I think that the idea is, you know, if you can cut down on the number of Tool dates that you follow the band with, you could just splurge on one nice one where nobody's going to fuck up your vibe.
And you don't have to be close. The music still sounds the same if you're in a skybox.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't get a good eye of the antics of Maynard playing Jenga during a drum solo or whatever the shit. So, yeah, no, this absolutely checks out, though. And I will say, though, for folks out there who are critical of the band, who are, you know, gouging their fans, again, would you rather that they put out this deluxe lump of vinyl with their signatures on it and charge hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it? Or would you rather that they put out NFTs? Because I guarantee goddamn you they have considered it.
They're going to do both. They're just going to do it later than everyone else, like getting their music on streaming.
Oh, man. You're absolutely right on this. So, no credit given.
They got to wait for Mercury to be in retrograde and to have a waning blue moon and to make sure all their chakras are aligned in order to put out an NFT.
And Danny Carey's assault charges to be dropped.
Statute of limitations to pass.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. That's surely coming. Is there any band in the world, any fucking band at all, that you would spend $750 on a box set from?
Absolutely not.
Not a one.
If you want to say, like, you want to spend that much money to see a band live, Elvis would have to come back to life for me to even consider that.
You a big Elvis fan?
No, not particularly, but just to see a guy come back to life and croon, that seems like it's worth $800, don't you think?
Yeah, I worry about, like, the degrade of his vocal cords from, you know, being dead for 30 years, though.
Presumably he wouldn't be, like, the Crypt Keeper on stage swiveling his hips. He would, you know, be classic Elvis. If you're going to necromance him, you have to do it all the way.
Would you rather see a necromance, you know, like Sun Studios, young, hot Elvis, or like necromance, Las Vegas, fat Elvis?
I think young Elvis.
I'm the opposite on this one. I absolutely want to see him reinvigorated, sweating barbiturates, like just
doing karate kicks while singing Blue Hawaii.
Absolutely. That sounds like that. Yeah, I would spend $750 to see that.
Sitting up close, being upset that people are drunk near you.
I will say that if you're spending $750 to witness a goddamn miracle of both magic and science to see a necromanced Elvis, like, I don't think you should ruin that by getting blackout drunk. Like, I don't want to be a purist like this because I've been blackout for lots of pretty amazing shows, but that's one that you need to be there and fully, like, in the zone for.
Some people can't help themselves. We've all been to shows where, like, not saying drinking isn't appropriate, but, like, where people get plastered and they're, like, falling into you and they're singing along and woo-ing over and over again.
What's the most inappropriate wasted drunk guy at a show you've ever seen?
One was Typo Negative, though it's appropriate to be drunk at their show. This guy kept falling, like, onto me. And I kept catching him. And after, like, the fourth time, I just took a step to the side and kept letting him fall. So that was one. And the other was a couple years ago, I went to see Ziggy Marley, Bob Marley's son.
Yeah.
And there was just four or five drunk secretaries and their lame-ass husbands in front of me, like, clearly not knowing a single song, but they're a few too deep in their Mike's Hard Lemonades, dancing around in their sandals and socks.
I saw Evan Dando of the Lemonheads do a solo show. That guy has a history that's, you know, fairly dark with, you know, lots of drug abuse and stuff like that. And he was, you know, performing these songs about, you know, being pretty deep in it with it. And the Gen X secretary crew was out in full assessment, like, wasted, like, yelling, like, how they want to fuck Evan Dando.
That was their one party night, and nothing was going to stop them from having fun.
And you know what? I hope they did get laid.
Probably not by Evan Dando.
No, almost certainly not.
Maybe there's Evan Dando lookalikes, like the John F. Kennedy not lookalike that's going around QAnon circles banging 50-year-olds.
Oh, man. Evan Dando lookalike cleans up, dude. He gets more trim than a barbershop floor. All right, let's go to something more appropriate. I put myself in a bad spot here.
Let's go to something more serious. Nuclear war.
Yeah, which would you rather hear about here? This is a live poll. We're going to go. Oh, okay. Folks want to hear about the foibles of the extreme metal scene. That's what I'm hearing. So we got a few places to go with this. Are you familiar with Malath M8L8TH?
I am, mostly because their name is ridiculous, but also because they are Nazis, correct?
Correct. Still to this day, the funniest slam I've ever seen of that particular band is people calling them 88 Finger Death Punch.
Good one.
So their whole thing is, you know, they're Nazis, but they're like, you know, instead of, you know, all the shit that some people get mad about online, it's like they're not, you know, they just have views or whatever that aren't acceptable to you because you're closed-minded or whatever. It's like, well, these guys actually set up, like, you know, training camps and stuff to feed into Azov Battalion in Ukraine, as well as a few other things. The vocalist of Malath, he was arrested for murder in Russia. He's originally a Russian guy. He defected to Ukraine, where he set up.
They were too tolerant in Russia for his likes, so yeah. He had to go find this little jungle gym set to climb in the woods and make shitty black metal.
Yeah, Alexei Levkin is the fella. And there are all kinds of really shady revenue streams that this guy has found since he defected that I don't know if we necessarily need to get into, but it's all very thinking face emoji, if you will. He set up a record label to distribute Malath records as well as like-minded bands called Militant Zone. And he also does a fest that you might be familiar with, Asgard Ray Festival.
I think we've talked about them once or twice.
We have. So the whole thing, you know, with this violent tactical neo-Nazi unit that's set up behind this label. Is that it's used partially to funnel to paramilitary units that are set up in Ukraine. As you will note with stories in the news that there has been violent conflict in Ukraine recently, correct? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen one or two things about it. No one's really talking about it, but, you know, I caught something on the wires this morning.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? What I have been seeing with a couple of folks that have infiltrated the Telegram channels of Militant Zone chats is that a number of the guys associated with this record label have gotten turned into a fine pink mist.
Yeah, love to see it.
I'm just saying, if you dedicate your life to a cause of blood and soil nationalism, you know, with predicated upon violence, and then violence immediately appears, I guess that's an appropriate way to go out, right?
Sooner or later, your blood will in fact meet the soil.
I don't think it's good that, you know, Russia is invading Ukraine. But if, you know, if all that happened in this conflict was that these particular guys got exploded and then everybody went home, I think that would probably be fine.
It's just so funny that a lot of these conversations are happening on different apps and voice note things and Discords, with people thinking that they're secure, and it's just all this information is just bleeding out to the public because they're not secure, whether it's this information or in the lead up to Russia attacking Ukraine. All this stuff was fairly easy to find for the people who knew where to look, and that's why they were broadcasting, like, hey, this is going to happen. This is what they're doing. We know what they're doing because we have all this amazing GPS geolocating technology, and we could actually hear what you're saying. So you're not working with the best and brightest in some of these situations.
Yeah, I think the only form of private conversation is if you were to have a chat with somebody quietly in your 1987 Honda Civic. That's about
write
it.
Write a note, read it, and then eat it.
Yes. Even then, you got to watch out for those satellite cameras. So
and staples.
Yes, that too. That could be a big concern. So yeah, nothing is private at all. Even if you set up encryption for your online chat, there's probably some chucklehead that's in there watching you.
So what we're saying is you should go on to Metal Archives and look up a bunch of these bands to see if their trivia section gets updated pretty quickly.
It's more likely than you think. So I have not heard anything that Alexei, the vocalist of Malath, as far as I know, he is still alive. But there is speculation that the people that are have not been killed have been fleeing to Poland.
And they're hopping all over to the best countries for this sort of thing, aren't they?
I mean, there's a warm blanket and a cup of coffee for you in lots of places around here. Now, I don't want to paint like all of these spots with a broad brush. You know, there's lots of just regular working people between all of these countries. But, you know, there's also a few interconnected freaks. I wanted to pivot this a little bit, having some background here, to a thing I saw this week that really and truly got me in terms of the fucking gall it took to post. Do you know Seasons of Mist?
We do know Seasons of Mist. We have covered some of their bands and posted some of their new music, and also have questioned some of the bands that they have signed and supported over the years.
Yeah, I did once get an email from Michael, the guy that runs the label, in which he more or less insinuated that I should get killed. that was my last conversation with him anyway. It's been a while. Maybe things have changed on his end.
We know they haven't.
No, they have not at all. So the senior publicist at Season of Mist and is a lady on Twitter, Merciful Kate. She's got a blue check mark, so she knows what she's talking about. She posted a screenshot of Michael from Season of Mist saying, "When we release," it's a picture of a shirt here by a band called Drudg. Drudg. You know Drudg?
Drudg.
It says, "When we released this shirt a few years ago, we received a ton of shit for, quote, promoting nationalism. The same people have a Ukrainian flag as a Facebook cover today. I won't post a flag like those brave Facebook warriors. I, however, will do what I think is right, and sent a message to our Ukrainian bands. They are welcome at Season of Mist France. There is a job and help waiting for them if needed." The shirt here is a Drudk shirt with it's the banners of our fathers art with, the Ukrainian flag there. And their publicist, Merciful Kate, says, "Name another record label offering sanctuary to the Ukrainian artists. I'll wait. I'm forever proud to work for Season of Mist." Now, just general impressions. What's on your mind here?
Curious to what kind of job he'd give the guys from Jurtica. Like, are they fetching his coffee for him? Or are they mowing his lawn? Packing envelopes and going to the post office?
It's entirely possible, I suppose. Maybe they have other skills. Some of them are good at math or accounting.
Stringing popcorn, putting it up as decorations for the holidays.
Yeah. I you know, I don't want to sell
busking on the streets of Paris.
Oh yeah, people love to hear live acoustic black metal. So, folks out there, I'm sure you're familiar. This is for everybody else. Drudk, you know, Drudk. They've been around for a long while. Associated bands with them. I had a conversation with W the last time I saw him about how maybe we shouldn't have written anything about Blood of Kingu, which is a related side project to Drudk and Hate Forest, you know, all of which run by mostly the same guys, primarily Roman Senko, who has, you know, an interesting past, including their 2006 record, Blood in Our Wells, which was dedicated to Stepan Bandera. Do you know who that was?
He was the leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, a far-right Ukrainian ultra-nationalist political organization after World War One, but before World War Two. And one fun thing I learned today is that for his Wikipedia, they listed his height as 5'4".
Get his ass.
You just lean down and give him a little kiss on the forehead.
Bandera, famously not much of a fan of Jews or Romani people or Russians or the Polish, really anybody. I learned recently that the strain of Banderites is more national or more international than you would think, with a lot of strange bedfellows in the history of Canadian Parliament, which is not super great in my opinion. You have this band that is pretty explicitly hyper-nationalist in the most generous reading of their whole fucking bit, right? I would say, you know, if you have dedicated your art to this cause, when your country is under attack, isn't it kind of a cop-out to flee to a nice cushy office in France?
Yeah, I thought they were big, strong nationalist boys. You have your president and your Klitschko mayors being like, hell yeah, we're getting guns right now. Maybe if you were such a big, tough boy, you'd be doing it too. Kissing the soil and then shooting your gun.
Just throwing it out there. So, I don't know. I think that being proud of that you would, you know, go ahead and harbor these guys is maybe not the right reaction, but you know, we all have different world experiences and stuff like that. So somebody's yum is maybe my yuck.
And I'm assuming he's also willing to take in women and children and people of color that are also fleeing Ukraine, right? Right.
I mean, right? Almost certainly, right?
Definitely not being turned away at the border like Poland is doing.
Yeah, it is, I guess, kind of a stark difference in seeing how many places want to accept, you know, refugees when they're check off certain boxes versus others.
It's all out in the open. Now we know. There's no hiding it.
Yeah, and it's just like, man, it's so stark and so disgusting, and it's another time, and it's another situation where I'm just like kind of throwing my hands up in the air and like, well, the fuck can we do about this? And everyone in power is just like, well, have you considered going and fucking yourself?
Have you considered walking back to the other side of your country? Maybe they'll accept you over there.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting in general. So. You know, I wish the Drudka guys new luck in their new career of fetching coffee.
And rightly so, other people quote tweeted that with like yourself laughing at it or just being like, this ain't it. And I don't know, this this is who Season of Mist is. This is who they support. They know what the songs are about. They know who the albums are dedicated to, and that's okay to them. And maybe consider that for your future album purchases. And it sucks when there's good bands that seem to be normal people that are on that label as well.
That is legitimately the only record label that, like, bums me out with the extremely high quality of some of the bands on there just mash up right next to, like, shit like this.
It's like Neob, Liviscaris, and Destroyer 666. It's like, come on.
Yeah. It sucks a lot. And it's to the point, like, you know, even if I like this record or whatever, I'm never going to fucking buy it if it's coming from these guys.
You don't want to give money to them and help spread and propagate other things that they prop up like this.
Yeah. And it's worth noting, I'm not telling anybody, like, don't buy from Seasons of Mist or whatever. I'm just saying, like, I don't. That's, like, a decision I made. Even if I like a record, I'm going to listen to it for free online.
Do what you need to do. You know what's best for yourself. If there's other ways around of buying the album, if you could, like, buy it directly from the band's Bandcamp and it's not connected through a certain label, like, you could do it that way. Or if you just want to buy it live, that's maybe slightly better than getting it through distro and paying out the ass for shipping costs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know a lot of people love, like, Wormed. Like, as far as I can tell, those guys are just really good at their instruments, and they're not, like, shady in any way. I really like that Thy Catafalque, or whatever they pronounce as. I don't even fucking know.
Catafalque.
I think that band whips ass. But I'm not going to be buying any records that are, you know, released on Seasons of Mist from them, so. That's what it is.
You can download the promo and then not review it.
Yes, exactly. That's the benefit of starting your own blog, guys. People will send you records that you don't have to necessarily do anything with.
Or you do review it and then you slyly say it's released by Seasons of Piss.
I do appreciate that when we're doing the weekly releases that Spear and Co. it slide in that little Seasons of Piss tag.
It's very good.
I'm never gonna
profound
get tired
snore.
Of it.
That's a good one too.
Wait, what is it?
Instead of profound lore, profound snore.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Profound bore.
Get their asses constantly. It's good. We have a few things we can do. I think one of the more baffling things that I saw this week was Andrew Lee of Rip the Shreds, a band that I like a lot, as well as his solo shred material that I big upped in the best releases of 2021. He finds funny things and he posts them often. He posted a video from J-Dog, one of the owners of Hell's Headbangers. This video is titled, "Is Werewolf Records and Satanic Warmaster Racist?"
I assume this is a five-second video because we know the answer.
I'm not done with the video title. It's "Is Werewolf Records and Satanic Warmaster Racist? Grand Belial's Key, Vargrav, Goat Moon, Graveland."
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, they're pretty forward with it, so I don't understand the question or why this video is, what is it, like 10 minutes long?
15 fucking minutes long.
Okay. So cite your sources, Mr. Dog.
Did you play sports in school?
I did.
Yeah, same. Was any one of your assistant coaches, like, maybe the biggest dipshit you've ever seen in your life?
I would say most sports coaches, youth sports coaches, are dipshits.
J-Dog gives me strong JV football assistant coach vibes.
I can definitely see him saying some slurs because some 14-year-olds aren't running fast enough.
Absolutely. I would encourage folks, if you really want to, like, do it, you can watch this whole 15-minute video. I might just put a couple of clips in here that I found especially funny.
I heard that, I guess, them or other people of the same like-minded people, just annoying-ass motherfucking people, accuse Werewolf Records Lori, Satanic Warmaster, True Werewolf, of being racist and affiliated with racist bands. And my question is, I'll just answer that actually directly. I don't know. I have no idea. I met the guy. He didn't seem racist. He was very fucking friendly. I met him at Hell's Head Bash. Seemed really cool. The vibe I get, like Chase is pretty much good buddies with him. Chase says he's not a racist. He said, I think he point blank asked him, or maybe not just straight up, you know, fucking held him at gunpoint. Hey, are you a racist dude? But kind of like, you know, worked into the conversation. And because he's actually gone over to Finland, and I think he stayed with Lori or around Lori or whatever the case was. And I think he's met the guys at Goat Moon too. And I think he said he asked them as well. And they point blank said they're not racist either. And the vibe that he got, really, they point blank said, and I kind of got this vibe, that kind of was the vibe I always got too, is that they're just very proud of their heritage, which is funny because, like, all these dipshit fucking Americans accusing these guys of being racist and shit like that's like, look at all these prideful fucking Americans, you know what I mean? People are super prideful and fucking patriotic in America, probably more than any other country. So these guys from Finland, others, what the fuck is wrong with that if they are theirs? I don't see any racial. I mean, the name Satanic Warmaster, where's race or anything in there? Like, I mean, I can't say I know all their lyrics top to bottom, but I've never seen a racial slur. I've never seen anything. I just see werewolves and fucking satanic stuff. And same thing does the other band, True Werewolf. Werewolves. I mean, I just see Satanism, vampires, and all just blood and just dark topics. Where is the racism whatsoever? Goat Moon, who I do like Goat Moon a lot. I've heard the same thing. They're racist, just like that. I don't see anything in the lyrics that suggests to me. Now, granted, some of it's in a lot of it's in like Finnish and shit, so I don't know what it means. But I don't see anything, no Ku Klux Klan, Nazi fucking shit going on. I mean, if there's something out there I don't know about, correct me if I'm wrong. And my whole fucking thing is, too, is I don't really give a shit if they are or aren't.
But, you know, if you want to watch a deeply dumb man stumble over for a minute saying things like, I met Lori at a show once and he seemed like a cool guy to me. And I have a friend who knows him real good. He asked him straight up. Well, not straight up, because he didn't want to be like, hey, man, are you racist? But he like kind of in a roundabout way asked if he was racist, and he said, no, man, I'm not racist. So I don't know what you fucking pussies and Antifa sissies out there are worried about, because he said he's not.
Now drop to the floor and give me 20.
Yeah, we're doing air raids across the entire field.
On the line,
bear crawl
suicide.
Very, very funny stuff. I appreciate his SEO in the title of that. That's really good. There's almost 3,000 views on this right now, and a whole colorful cast of characters in the comments, including Lori of Satanic Warmaster.
You said Dee Snider was terminally online. This guy just pops up everywhere.
Well, I remember Lori, I was... I was reading some like Ask Me Anything he did on Facebook years ago, and somebody asked him if he played Dark Souls. He said, I don't know what that is, but I play Mega Man X every day.
That's really funny.
So if you complete Mega Man X, you know, every single day, you have some time to spare to just constantly dick around online, I guess.
You shouldn't assume that he completes it every day. Maybe he's just really bad at it and he's constantly playing it because he can't get past like the first level.
I mean, I haven't tried that game since I was maybe 8 or so, but I recall it being pretty difficult. If you're, you know, in your 40s and you've been presumably playing this every day for years now, I would hope that you could at least get to the final boss.
He's just sitting in his studio apartment, the windows blacked out, the walls painted black, playing the brightly colored Mega Man X and throwing his controller every time he gets to Woodman.
It's a bullshit fight, man. I don't necessarily want to dwell on this aside to highlight the absurdity of the whole thing. It's pretty funny. It's worth not the full 15 minutes, but I'd say a good 4.
Well, I look forward to his dissertation on Toilet of Hell next week, then.
I'm also looking forward to it.
Isn't Hell's Headbangers their band? Bandcamp connected to Werewolf Records anyway?
Yes, yes it is. That's part of the deal, like why anybody was asking him about this in the first place. Hell's Headbangers is, as far as I can tell, just a massive clearinghouse for just gross metal bands. I don't mean like, ooh, they're gross. I mean like a lot of 188.
A lot of that, and then a lot of thrash revival, speed metal revival, of like bands with lots of the same members moving around. So it's a lot of leather and a lot of gauntlets. And then over here on the kids' table is just Hateful Sons of Bitches.
Yeah, I can't stress this enough that between the label itself and the distro, it covers like, I don't know, 60% of metal in general. So if you if you're looking for a t-shirt, there's a very good chance that you have seen some skinny dork wearing a fucking devil mask. And
I know exactly what mask you're talking about.
And with the fucking full gauntlets too. I've never
the string bean arms flexing over with a Satanic War Master shirt.
Exactly. In the past, like when I was buying more merch or whatever, I would look at that, think about it for one half second, and like, well, it looks like shit on this guy. I don't think it'll look good on me.
It looks bad, and I feel bad.
So, yeah, this is not to say that like every band associated with Hell's Headbangers is questionable or whatever. It's just like there are so fucking many of them, and for some reason, the guys behind it are just willfully ignorant about the really bad shit that they hang out with. It's a choice, you know. It's an absolute choice, and we all have them, so. We make choices every day, Jordan.
I believe Eminem has a song about it. Oh, no, wait, that's Voices. Hold on.
So anyway, it's I get a kick sometimes out of the willful ignorance of the people that make a dollar off your purchases. That is to say, we've covered a lot of ground, a lot of knuckle-dragging shit. Is there anything, like, funnier that's happened? Is there anything better that's happened?
I'm trying to think. the sun is shining, birds are singing. I see the hope of the country in every smiling child's face.
Well, that's pretty good. That's not bad. It's going to get up into the 40s today, which is a nice change of pace. I might go outside.
You're going to touch grass, as the kids say.
I'm not going to touch it, but I'll be among it.
You're just going to get down on all fours and run your hand across it and go, ooh.
I mean, it's been, I guess, a rough start to the day because, I got up, get the dogs walked and start getting the animals fed. I have to keep my cats in in the guest bathroom at night because otherwise they terrorize the household all fucking night long and I can't sleep. So the first thing I did is, I go in there to get them their food bowls and immediately slip in a pile of cat shit. I look around and I realize that the cats have pissed, shit, and vomited all over the bathroom all night long, and that it's just a toxic fucking wasteland in there. I got down on my hands and knees, and rather than touching grass, I touched poop. Got all of this disgusting smelling shit up and thrown out while the cats are like harassing me and trying to like eat houseplants and stuff like that. So rough start to the day, but I'm going to enjoy it regardless anyway.
I'm just picturing the guys from Druidica finally making it to France. They got their suitcases in hand. They get to the Season of Mist studio and there's just cats everywhere. It stinks. There's empty Big Mac containers there, so maybe that's what they have to look forward to, too.
I don't know what it is. The worst smells in the world come from cats. There is something deeply toxic going on inside of every cat, and I would like scientists to explain this to me.
It's too much fancy feast.
They are obligate carnivores. Like, they only eat meat. So I assume that the piss, shit, and vomit of, like, Jordan Peterson is very similar.
Just acidic and full of protein.
Yeah, just, like, ketones coming out.
Instead of what is a keto breath, it's keto piss.
Yeah, keto piss, keto shit, keto vomit, keto cum. Keto vitus, what is it that they used to believe? Your humors. it's all pretty nasty. I did see that David Vincent, again, I'm going to keep pumping this up because we are going to get to his book in the next couple of episodes. Is doing a tour with I Am Morbid, but sadly it is only across Europe at the moment. I'm hoping he can make his triumphant return to Texas, where I'm pretty sure he lives. I'm definitely going to try to catch that when it happens. But he's going to be doing Blessed Are the Sick in its entirety. Do you think that there are any, like, legal complications between him and the other guys on this one?
Who knows? Who knows what the copyrights are? It's so far, like, no one's tried to stop him from doing this. So maybe he either owns the copyright to it, or they don't care, or they have equal share in it. It's hard to say. It's not like they have to have meetings with their lawyers like Danzig did with Jerry Only and Doyle, and then they came out of it reuniting and playing shows together. So it might just be you do your thing, and I'll be over here watching Sailor Moon reruns.
I hope so. That would make me feel better knowing that, you know, it's not like pulling teeth to actually be in the same room as the other people. Same thing as, like, you know, the Misfits reunion.
And that was all about money.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just not enough money to bother going after all this legally.
It's entirely possible. What is this thing you sent me in chat? It's this double band four-sided long sleeve.
Oh, this was a shirt that came out like a week ago. Jamie Just had posted it. It's Hatebreed and Slaughter to Prevail. It's a long sleeve double band shirt with on the back it says Worldwide Brutality, and on the front it's both band logos and then an American flag and a Russian flag. So good timing on all of that.
Oh, fantastic, dude. We but are just, the world's aggressors. Woo! Worldwide brutality.
Worldwide totalitarianism and imperialism. But I can't recall seeing two bands being on one shirt that, like, wasn't a tour. It wasn't like whatever, When Worlds Collide, or it's Megadeth and Metallica together. It's just two random bands. From what I know, I don't think they have a tour coming up. I don't know if they have a split or anything like that. It's just like, here's a shirt with two bands and hope you like both of them.
Yeah, that's a pretty big gamble, right? Also, like, you want to have an audience that likes both bands and wants both American flags and Russian flags on your shirt.
Really trying to thread the needle.
I gotta say, they might have missed the mark on this one, given the general timing. This is one of those.
And I did see that Slur to Prevail just came out condemning the war and supporting Ukrainians too. So I don't know. Buy a shirt.
The statement was very funny though, because it was like, we are non-political in any way, but we don't think it's a good idea to start a war.
Whoa, back up there. Take it political
easy.
Talk, man.
Take it easy, Mahatma Gandhi.
I thought this was not metal's not political.
Very, very funny stuff. I don't know. This one seems like it might be a fun, you know, years from now, a fun Cold War relic or something. I might pick this shirt up.
Like finding McDonald's rapper supporting our 1984 Olympics.
Hell yeah, brother. Exactly like that. Yeah, having like a finding a pristine bumper sticker for Walter Mondale.
Still occasionally see some cars driving around with those bumper stickers. It's like, man, it ain't gonna happen.
How long has that fucking car been on the road? Shit.
You see some of those, but you also see like new ones. Like around town a few years ago, where I live, I Miss Reagan stickers started popping up. And I think some of these like Redbubble and these different websites sell like Reagan Bush 84 because people are real waxing nostalgic for the 80s when everything was great and nothing bad happened.
I noticed like when I lived closer to UT, it was a common thing for frat children to wear Reagan Bush 84 sweatshirts. So that was like, you know, one of the four acceptable clothing items for these kids to wear.
Was it a political thing or were they just giggling at the word Bush?
I think it was a political thing. Generally, these folks are all pretty deeply conservative, or at least they've never once considered it, but that's what their parents are, and their parents pay for all the bills, so, you know, whatever.
So you're going to wear this lame-ass sweater to college, and you're going to like it.
Yeah. I don't quite get it. I know a little bit more about the world than the average, say, 18-year-old that's in a fraternity. That being said, I'm not above like, you know, I think a Geraldine Ferraro bumper sticker is objectionably very funny, like a brand new one.
Oh, it's so lame.
Yeah.
I think you have a grace period with your political bumper stickers, like unless it's a general statement. If it's for a specific person, if your person didn't win, you have like a year tops to take it off. And then beyond then, it's like bitter, sour grapes and embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. I'm too lazy to take the Bernie sticker off my truck now.
Third time's a charm.
I just don't see the old man making it. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen, and he seems to be pretty friendly with Biden, so I doubt you'll be getting any sort of primary challenge.
No, certainly not from Bernie, but, you know, there are lots of young socialists popping up. I got a good feeling about Pete Buttigieg.
Well, that's like you're seeing some of these, especially conservative elected officials who are like, I fight against communism. I don't like Putin. It's like, you know, he's not a communist, right? And I think some of them don't actually know that. They just assume Russia equals communism.
Oh, fuck, dude. That reminds me. A guy I had not thought about it in at least 10 years. Former coach of Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Who went to the NFL and got obliterated to the point where, what is he, like a defensive coordinator at Gudger College now?
Yeah. I really thought he was dead because he looked dead when he was coaching for Notre Dame. He came out with, you know, his brilliant political theory that Russia is actually ultra-communist now.
That is what we wanted you to think. And then the hammer and sickle drops down again.
Slightly more successful coach, Tommy Tuberville, is on the same shit.
God, just a real failing of our political system to allow this guy to become a senator. He football good, so I'm going to vote for him.
I guess I don't know who he was competing against, so maybe he was just better than
Doug Jones.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Well, like I said, he football good, and that was enough for people. And he's in the pantheon of stupid elected officials, he's probably the dumbest senator.
I mean, this is a pretty serious competition here, Jordan. I don't know if we can just make that flippant comment. We have to run the numbers.
I'm pretty confident with it.
I don't know, man. There are a lot of really dumb senators.
There are, but I think he's the dumbest.
Well, folks, I don't have the facts and figures in front of me to make this argument. I think we have to agree with Jordan at the moment. If you have, you know, a take that can rival his, I need you to let us know below who is the dumbest senator. Put it in the comments. Provide, you know, your rationale. Make it a short answer, max of 300 words. Due on my desk Wednesday by midnight.
Do a 15-minute YouTube video. dumbest senator, Tuberville, Graham, Cornyn, who else? You got Cruz.
Cruz is,
and then there's like there's the whole chunk of the country that you don't even know who the elected officials are, like Idaho. Oh,
Who is, I don't know who, yeah, again, I know.
Wyoming? Who. I don't know.
Wait, that's, no, I'm thinking of the governor. Never. Okay, I don't know. I'm dumber than the average senator. They probably know who the elected official in Wyoming is.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they have lunch. I feel like we ought to maybe just put a pin in this episode and duck out and hope for, I don't know, more fun things to talk about next week.
Hopefully there is a next week for us to talk about.
It's, what is it? What was it? Morning in America is, no, I'm thinking of Daisy, the classic political commercial in which like a little girl gets fucking obliterated by a nuke.
Yeah, they have the nuclear countdown while she's on a swing singing. Pretty effective political commercial.
Well, hopefully, you know, instead of all of our commercials being related to, I will, murder my opponent who is trying to force critical race theory on your children, we can get back to nuclear scaremongering. It'd be a nice change of pace, I think.
It's something we can all get behind.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Again, thanks for listening to us. Feel free to tell us how wrong we are in the comments, and we will reflect on them.
Yes, yes, we will.
All right. Love you. Be good. Any closing thoughts, Jordan?
Don't stay online too long. Take a break. You don't need to retweet everything. You don't need to send out every thought that you have. Take a step back. Try to find some joy in something, because we could really use it right now.
Yeah, that seems pretty good to me. All right, good closing thoughts. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.